Quote, when I think about what has happened in America over the past 20 years, it causes my spirit to ache, my heart to break, and my will to wake. End quote. That comes from Dr. Richard Lee, who's the president and speaker for There's Hope America Broadcasting Media. And Dr. Lee has written a new book, which is called The Battle for the Soul of America and How Christians Can Win It. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Lee, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, I am always honored. Thank you.
Sure. Tell us about this book. It really is just in time for this all-critical election and even the months thereafter.
Well, I wrote this book for pastors and churches and sent it out free of charge to, I think there was about 14,000 churches now, maybe wow. A little more. And but it's also available to the public now, trying to awaken the churches and the pastors to what's happened while we have been sleeping the last couple of decades. And you may, your listener may say, well, I haven't been sleeping. No, but the majority of Christians have, just thinking that everything's as usual, but it's not as usual.
Yeah, there's a quite a bit, and I should say that this is being recorded in advance of the election. It's being recorded around the time that President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett, has been raked over the coals, or they're trying to rake her over the coals. You know, will you or will you not, you know, have in any way touch a finger against our beloved Roe v. Wade? She's doing a good job, by the way, I would think. But they're certainly making all the attempts to pull out all the stops.
Well, it's sort of comical, as your listeners probably will be looking back at it, about how the Democrats are acting like the fourth graders on show and tell day. That's all they can do, bring out pictures and describe them. But she is acting like a Supreme Court justice. Brilliant, attractive in what she says and the way her mannerisms are, mature, and just doesn't fit into their mold. And I think that really is destroying them.
Well, the scripture says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And you look at her, and she's like a model of, you know, this is what we want our daughters to be like one day. You know, I mean, she's like a model American, and yet she's being torn down by many because she doesn't affirm the sacrament of abortion.
That's right. And, you know, as you see what's put in front of us these days is supposed to be womanhood. They're really not, that's not ladyhood. There's a difference. My mom taught me as a boy, son, there's a difference between a woman and a lady. Most females are women, but a lady has the attributes of Proverbs 31.
Amen. All right, when it comes to the churches and pastors, and you yourself have been a pastor, correct? You are a pastor?
Yes, been 42 years now.
Okay, great. So when you get into the pulpit, it's not your, you know, mandate to get up and say, okay, I'm going to vote for candidate XYZ of such and such a party, and here's why, bing, bing, bing. But you're there to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. So how do pastors speak on the moral issues without being directly partisan and yet still being faithful to the Word of God? And go ahead and take your time on this. Give some examples, in fact. And I think pro-life is a perfect place to start.
Sure. Well, let me tell you, the greatest example is your former pastor, D. James Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy, I knew and appreciated him and admired him very much. And I'll never forget, I would sit with my wife in front of the television and watch him on the various networks, and I would say, honey, let's take a lesson today. He just didn't preach. He gave a lesson. And it was a lesson on the morals and the Judeo-Christian values which we cherish as a nation. And if a pastor has done that, if he has taught his people instead of just giving them a pablum or just giving them something they wanted to hear or some some kind of a positive message that came out of his mind instead of the Word of God. If he has talked about the Word of God and the principles of the Judeo-Christian values through the years, they don't have any problem. He doesn't need to tell them how to vote. Not only will they know how to vote, and not only will it be very, very clear to them, but we live in a day, Jerry, these days when Christians, like most Americans, are dying from lack of knowledge, as God said his people would. They've just not been taught. And the reason they have not been taught is the pastors. We go to seminaries, visit seminaries today. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them do not teach them the fundamentals of doctrine. It does not teach them the fundamentals of teaching their people, really how to be a shepherd to their people. So my heart goes out as I to the pastors who really don't understand what it is to be a pastor, and I'm not saying I have a corner on it all, but I did have some wonderful mentors that taught me that the rightly dividing the Word of God is exactly what the people need. And doesn't matter if they like the music or not, doesn't matter if they like my appearance or not, but rightly dividing the Word of truth is the whole issue. And if you do that, they will know how to vote.
Well, let's take the example of abortion. Abortion and the pastor. Right. What have you done in the pulpit that you look back and you say, this is good? And by the way, I could point to you to about at least seven or so sermons from Dr. Kennedy through the years on abortion. And he didn't pull his punches.
Sure. Oh, no. No, well, you began with the commandment that says you should not, thou shalt not kill, meaning thou shalt not murder. That pretty well covers it all. When we understand that a child is from the womb, as the scripture tells us, we were created by God. And even the creation of a human being is God breathed his breath and they became a living soul. God came into them to become a living soul. And as this happens, so does the understanding of the fact of life. And life begins when life begins. And when that baby is conceived, life begins. And the value of human life. And, you know, without the value of human life, we don't even believe what our Declaration says and our Constitution says. Because the Declaration tells us we believe in the right to life, liberty, pursuit of health. Begins with life. Everything begins with life. And man's view of mankind. And if you kill that view of mankind, which abortion has been working on now since 1974, I believe it was, that view of a baby being mankind, you become nothing but a barbarian. And not only does a young life not matter to you, no life matters to you, and especially maybe even our senior citizens. So I've talked about all the... Here's an amazing thing. You preach the Bible, and almost every issue that you will have in political discourse will be handled, and you will come across it. And when you do, you take the advantage to teach the people, because if you don't, society will teach them the lies that the devil has for them.
Amen. There are a lot of young people today, even in the church, who think that, well, the Bible requires social justice, and they don't realize that, in effect, the phrase social justice has been co-opted by the Marxists. The Bible certainly upholds justice repeatedly. Justice is extremely important to God. But it's not the same as what the Marxists are basically proclaiming. And so a lot of young people are confused, even in the church.
That's right. And, you know, if they took time to just go back and study socialism, or just take a look at Karl Marx, who was really just a failure in his own right, if they took a look at what they'd been taught in colleges, universities, and from even high schools now about socialism, they'll see this never worked and never will work. And it's almost amazing to me that a nation would grasp but has killed other nations and killed every nation that's practiced it. Looking at Venezuela and all the rest of the world. But, you know, the fact is that men without Christ are blind, and those who deceive them, the spirit of the Antichrist is deception. they will deceive them at every turn, even with the truth that's right in front of them.
All right, now, the name of your ministry is There's Hope America. And these days, honestly, we need that. We need hope. America needs.
Oh, yes.
We really do. I mean, this is not like other elections. I mean, America as founded is literally at risk, in the next.
It is.
And even if Trump, let's say, prevails in a big way, there's still millions and millions of Americans who think that America is just this evil country. I mean, we're the evil empire virtually in the minds of millions of Americans, and that doesn't bode well for the future.
Well, Jerry, that's why I appreciate ministries like yours and like you and others that do the same as we do. We do everything within every fiber in our being to teach the truth about the real America that we love and cherish, the one that God has blessed, and the one that was founded on the principles of Scripture and our Christian ethic. And we're reaching a time whereby either lies are going to prevail, or the church and let's just say common sense Americans are going to rise up and share truth with learn and share truth with the young people in our land. I was at the acceptance speech of the president the other night in Washington at the big rally, beautiful rally. And I left and I had another pastor with me, and we missed the bus. And so we had to walk back to our hotel, and we were walking along. And of course the Secret Service was outside the White House, but after you walked 1 foot from the White House, you were on your own.
Yeah.
And the mobs were there, and they were screaming and cursing and using the F word and throwing and spitting and telling us, we hope that you're going to die tonight, and all those type of things. And I walked along with them and I tried to talk with them as they were chasing us. Really, I tried to talk to them because we were just all walking rapidly. But the hatred they had in their eyes,
yeah,
and they would not reason. And I'm thinking, well, this is spiritual.
Yeah.
We're dealing with not only a physical world and a mental world, we're dealing more than anything else with a spiritual world. And Peter taught to us in 2 Peter about the spirit of the Antichrist, how it's the spirit of lies and deceit and hatred and darkness and all of this. And that's exactly what we see. And my heart went out to them. Was I upset? Yeah, I was upset that they had not had the truth. And they were angry, but they were sincere in their anger and their hatred, meaning they had been so deceived by people. And we have allowed that to happen in our society, and in our music, in our movies, and every segment of our society.
Education.
We have allowed, that's right, we've allowed trash to come in and haven't stood up against it on the local level and also the national level.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. Give us some hope in this battle for the soul of America.
All right. Here's the hope. The hope is you go to the polls and you vote. We have enough Christians in this nation to take this nation and turn it back to right. If they will get up now, if they're voting early where they are, or they'll get up on the 4th of this month, November, and vote. Number two.
The third. The 3rd of November. We want the liberals to vote on the 4th.
Yeah,
no, I'm just
third.
Kidding. That was a joke. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
That's right. But having our people to get up in their churches, our pastors, and preach clear, plain, straight the Word of God. Our pastors did that for centuries, and we were the nation we needed to be. It needs to happen, a revival among the pastors again. And then America will have hope. And by the way, let me also encourage Democrats to vote on November the 4th.
Okay. Dr. Richard Lee, author of The Battle for the Soul of America. There's hope.org is the website. Thank you so much for being with us, Doc. God bless you, and God bless America. Okay. Amen.